Effectual prayer. Many prayers are offered without faith. A set form of words is used, but there is no real importunity. These prayers are doubtful, hesitating. They bring no relief to those who offer them, and no comfort or hope to others. The form of prayer is used, but the spirit is wanting, showing that the petitioner does not feel his need and is not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. These long, cold prayers are untimely and wearisome. They are too much like preaching the Lord a sermon. Learn to pray short and right to the point, asking for just what you need. Learn to pray aloud where only God can hear you. Do not offer make-believe prayers, but earnest, feeling petitions, expressing the hunger of the soul for the bread of life. If we prayed more in secret, we should be able to pray more intelligently in public. These doubtful, hesitating prayers would cease, and when engaged with our brethren in public worship, we could add to the interest of the meeting, for we should bring with us some of the atmosphere of heaven, and our worship would be a reality and not a mere form. Those about us can soon tell whether we are in the habit of praying or not. If the soul is not drawn out in prayer in the closet, and while engaged in the business of the day, the lack will be manifest in the prayer meeting. The public prayers will be dry and formal, consisting of repetitions and customary phrases, and they will bring darkness rather than light into the meeting. The life of the soul depends upon habitual communion with God. Its wants are made known, and the heart is open to receive fresh blessings. Gratitude flows from unfeigned lips, and the refreshing that is received from Jesus is manifested in words, in deeds of active benevolence, and in public devotion. There is love to Jesus in the heart, and where love exists, it will not be repressed, but will express itself. Secret prayer sustains the inner life. The heart that loves God will desire to commune with Him and will lean on Him in holy confidence. Let us learn to pray intelligently, expressing our requests with clearness and precision. Let us put away the listless, sluggish habit into which we have fallen and pray as though we meant it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5, verse 16. Faith takes a firm hold of the promises of God and urges her petitions with fervor. But when the life of the soul stagnates, the outward devotions become formal and powerless. Jesus is our Savior today. He is pleading for us in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, and He will forgive our sins. It makes all the difference in the world with us spiritually, whether we rely upon God without doubt, as upon a sure foundation, or whether we are seeking to find some righteousness in ourselves before we come to Him. Look away from self to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It is a sin to doubt. The least unbelief, if cherished, involves the soul in guilt and brings great darkness and discouragement. It is saying that the Lord is false, that He will not do as He has promised, and He is greatly dishonored. Some have cherished doubts, discontent, and a disposition to be on the wrong side until they are in an atmosphere of doubt and seem to think it praiseworthy to be on the side of the doubting. But when the believing ones shall receive the end of their faith, even the salvation of their souls, the doubting ones, who have sowed unbelief, will reap that which they have sown, and an undesirable harvest it will be. Some obtain answers to prayer, a little freedom, and they become elated. They do not increase in faith, do not grow in strength and courage, but they depend on feeling. If they happen to feel well, they think they are in favor with God. How many stumble here? How many are overcome? Feeling is no criterion for any of us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. We are to examine our character in God's mirror, His holy law, to detect our errors and imperfections, and then to remove them by the precious blood of Christ. We may commit the keeping of our souls to God as unto a faithful Creator, not because we are sinless, but because Jesus died to save just such erring, faulty creatures as we are. We may rest upon God, not because of our own merit, but because the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. We must look away from self to the spotless Lamb of God, who did no sin, and by looking to Him in faith, we shall become like him. There are rich promises for us in the Word of God. It is no narrow, limited provision that has been made for us. The plan of salvation is ample. We are not obliged to trust in the evidences that we had a year or a month ago, but we may have the assurance today that Jesus lives and is making intercession for us. We cannot do good to those around us while our own souls are destitute of spiritual life. Our brethren do not wrestle all night in prayer, as many godly men before us have done. They sit up bent over tables, writing lessons, or preparing articles to be read by thousands. They arrange facts in shape to convince the mind in regard to doctrine. All these things are essential, but how much God can do for us in sending light and power to convict hearts in answer to the prayer of faith. The empty seats in our prayer meetings testify that Christians do not realize the claims of God upon them. They do not realize their duty to make these meetings interesting and successful. They go over a monotonous, wearisome round and return home unrefreshed, unblessed. If we would refresh others, we must ourselves drink of the fountain that never becomes dry. It is our privilege to become acquainted with the source of our strength, to have hold of the arm of God. If we would have spiritual life and energy, we must commune with God. We can speak to Him of our real wants, and our earnest petitions will show that we realize our needs, and will do what we can to answer our own prayers. We must obey the injunction of Paul, "Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Ephesians 5, verse 14. Luther was a man of prayer. He worked and prayed as though something must be done, and that at once. And it was done. His prayers were followed up by venturing something on the promises of God. And through divine aid, he was enabled to shake the vast power of Rome, so that in every country the foundation of the papacy trembled. The Spirit of God cooperates with the humble worker who abides in Christ and communes with Him. Pray when you are faint-hearted. When you are desponding, close the lips firmly to men. Keep all the darkness within, lest you shadow the path of another. But tell it to Jesus. Ask for humility, wisdom, courage, increase of faith, that you may see light in His light and rejoice in His love. Only believe, and you shall surely see the salvation of God.